Neris did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. Portsmouth North sits in the middle of England's deprivation index, where healthcare training programs turn away qualified candidates while hospital wards struggle with staffing shortages. The NHS workforce crisis deepens not because people don't want to train as nurses, but because the institutions that could train them have been told there isn't enough money to do it.
I grew up watching my dad come home from the Portsmouth dockyard with welding burns on his arms, and my mum serve school dinners to kids who reminded her of me at that age. They taught me that work meant something when it helped other people. When I was 12, my gran fell down the stairs and broke her hip. The paramedics who came to our house moved with this calm certainty that made me feel safe, even though I was terrified. They knew exactly what to do, exactly how to help her heal. I wanted to be like that. I studied biology at Portsmouth University and worked as a healthcare assistant at Queen Alexandra Hospital while I saved money for nursing training. I loved the work, even the difficult parts. When patients were scared or in pain, I could be the person who stayed calm, who knew what to do next. By 2019, I had excellent grades, 3 years of healthcare experience, and enough savings to support myself through training. I was ready. I applied for nursing degree funding through Student Finance England that spring. I met all the criteria, scored well on the numeracy and literacy tests, and submitted my application months before the deadline. In August, I received a letter saying there were no more places available in my region. Not that I wasn't qualified, not that my application was incomplete, just that the places had run out. The woman on the phone couldn't explain why they hadn't allocated enough places to meet demand. She suggested I try again next year. I reapplied in 2020 through Health Education, England's nursing apprenticeship scheme. This felt more promising because I could keep working while training. I passed the initial assessments and interview in February. Then I waited and waited. In October, 8 months later, I received another letter. The program had been suspended due to budget constraints from Treasury spending limits. The training manager I spoke to sounded frustrated. "We have the trainers," she said. "We have the simulation equipment. We have hospital placements lined up. But there is no funding to run the program." That made sense to me at the time. Budgets are finite. Money has to come from somewhere. I accepted it and tried a different route. In 2021, I applied through Portsmouth Hospitals University NHS Trust's direct entry scheme. I passed all the assessments, including a practical demonstration on the ward where I already worked. The nursing director who interviewed me said I was exactly the kind of candidate they needed. 2 weeks later, she called to say they couldn't afford to take on new trainees. "The trust is under severe financial pressure," she explained. "We cannot afford to run that program this year." I was starting to feel like I was chasing something that didn't really exist. But in 2022, after my MP wrote letters on my behalf, I finally got a place at the University of Portsmouth's nursing faculty. On my first day walking through the building, I saw something that didn't fit. Entire lecture halls sat empty. Fully equipped simulation wards with hospital beds, monitors, and drug trolleys had no students using them. The skills lab had mannequins that cost thousands of pounds each, gathering dust. I asked one of the lecturers why so many rooms were unused. "Funding caps," she said. "We could train twice as many nurses with the facilities we have, but we're only funded for a fraction of that capacity." That week, I ran into three healthcare assistants from my old ward. Sarah, Mohammed, and Jessica had all applied for the same training programs I'd tried. Sarah had been rejected from the 2020 apprenticeship scheme. Mohammed was turned away from the 2021 trust program. Jessica had been on a waiting list for Student Finance England funding for 2 years, all three were still working as healthcare assistants. All three still wanted to become qualified nurses. All three had been told the same thing, there was no money. But I could see the empty classrooms. I could see the unused equipment. I could see the teachers who had capacity for more students. I started to wonder what exactly there is no money meant. The government that prints pound notes told me it couldn't find enough of them to train the nurses our hospitals desperately needed. The people existed. The skills could be taught. The materials were available. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. Now I'm in my final year of training. I see the staffing crisis on the wards every day. I see healthcare assistants who could be qualified nurses if someone in Westminster decided their training was worth funding. I see empty classrooms and unused equipment while politicians claim they can't afford to train more healthcare workers. I understand this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone with the power to issue currency says the cupboard is bare.
What Neris experienced in Sir has a name, fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat government spending limits as natural laws rather than policy choices. Like tobacco companies once paraded doctors who claimed smoking was healthy, austerity advocates present economists who insist government budgets work exactly like household budgets. The objection Neris heard repeatedly was that economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is deeply divided on this question. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, as in not currency creation. Saying economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. In Neris's story, she encountered this fake expertise at every turn. Health Education England cited Treasury spending limits as though they were physical laws. Trust managers spoke of budget constraints as unchangeable facts. Student Finance England treated funding caps as natural boundaries. Each institution passed responsibility upward to economists and Treasury officials who supposedly knew better. But the UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Portsmouth North, those resources were sitting idle. The empty lecture halls, unused simulation equipment, and qualified healthcare assistants proved the capacity existed. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Portsmouth North ranks 227 out of 543 English constituencies on the Deprivation Index, English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 352 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Local organisations receive £3.6 million in grants, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.